This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by poet Jose Araguz, who has a new book out titled Everything We Think We Hear, published by Flor Canto Press last fall. Born and raised in Corpus Christi, Texas, Jose is a Canto Mundo Fellow. Winner of the Rhino Poetry's 2015 Editor's Prize, he has had poems recently in Prairie Schooner, Borderlands, and Salamander. He's a PhD candidate in creative writing and literature at the University of Cincinnati and the author of 5 chapbooks, most recently, The Book of Flight. And finally, he runs the poetry blog, The Friday Influence. Welcome, Jose.
Thank you, Kelly.
And I'm wondering if you could maybe read us the very first poem in the book.
Of course. This poem is entitled Directions. The man asking for directions sighs when I answer him in Spanish, shakes my hand, almost hugs me. He tells me I look more Puerto Rican than Mexican, but are we not all hermanos, primos? And maybe that is why I excuse him like a brother or a cousin when he points to my books and asks what I am studying and hears La Policía. Before I can correct him, he releases another sigh and says, all right, says he knew he could trust me when he saw me, says that is the best thing for a man, to be strong, to stand for something, that in this country it is like money to be a police officer. The girls love it, family approves, and your boys know they can trust you. As he goes on about parking tickets and handcuffs, I think about all the nice things being said and whether he would say them about La Poesía and how the thing I do study is made up of everything we think we hear.
Thank you. So in this poem, the speaker is talking about what he does, and there's a mishearing that occurs. He hears the policía, or the police, instead of poesía, or poetry. And then the title of the book, of course, is Everything We Think We Hear. Mm-hmm. So mishearing is something that's brought up in the title, the first poem. Tell us how that's sort of woven through the book.
Yeah, no, it's one of the successes of the book for me structurally is that it embodies something that I've learned from Robert Frost. He has a quote that says, if a book of poems has 25 poems in it, then the book as a whole should work as the 26th poem. And so in putting this project together and in finding the title, I realized, oh, this phrase, everything we think we hear, can play off of a lot of different poems, no matter what they're about, whether they're about language, my family, or just about the writing process. This phrase kind of becomes a theme that has multiple meanings as it goes.
And as the poem progresses, I mean, this additional mishearing has consequences in terms of the conversation that follows. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is talking about all the great things about being a police officer. And I wondered if you could speak about what you think the consequences of mishearing are beyond the scope of the poem, you know, in any kind of level you would like to talk about it, in families or culturally.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a phrase that we're encouraged to use in teaching composition called wallowing in complexity, where we encourage students to wallow in complexity. And when I first heard it, I was just like, well, that's advice for life. Like, you mm-hmm. want to do that. And I feel poetry is one way that allows me to do that with the material of my life. And the way it plays out in these poems, as you mentioned, it plays out in situations between family members. A lot of the poems deal with me struggling with two languages and also with linguistic distance as well as physical distance between me and my family when I go off to college. And so everything we think we hear becomes a, like, well, what do you do between phone calls? What does a mom, and this is where the personal becomes relatable and kind of universal, where it's like, well, the struggle of any parent to see their child off, you suddenly have to create the narrative of what your child's doing, whether through worry, postcards, letters, like any sign. And I mean, these days you've got Facebook and social media where you're able to keep tabs on people. But who are you keeping tabs of? What kind of identity of self is created there? And then also to relate it back to poetry, it's a matter of how words gather meaning within a circumstance. Like in the poem Directions, it's a misunderstanding. And if I had just corrected him right away, like the poem itself, the first draft of it was actually a journal entry. I found myself going through an old journal. I ran across this paragraph and I said, you know, there might be something there. So I took it, revised it a little. And even that was a moment of like, well, here's text that meant one thing when I wrote it down, but now I can refigure it. And in writing about that moment, if I had corrected him, I wouldn't have gotten all these other things that he was saying. So it's almost good that I'm kind of slow in catching on to things. So that's part of the dwelling in complexity. Like, I can't help but do that. So
you mentioned phone calls,
Yes.
And these efforts that we make to keep connected, to hear each other across distances. And I feel like that's a really good opening for another poem, Raro. And maybe before we even go into that poem, we should talk about the mixture of English and Spanish that's going on in some of these pieces. What led you to including Spanish, and how does that sort of set us up for this particular poem?
You know, I recently went through my comprehensive exams at the University of Cincinnati, and I found myself reflecting on who I was in high school and what I was kind of going through. And even back then, I remember kind of arguing against, like, what was expected of me as a writer. What did I run into? I ran into Rodolfo Anaya's wonderful book, Bless Me Ultima, and Sandra Cisneros' stories, particularly Woman Hollering Creek. And I found myself saying, oh, if this is how they want me to write, I will rebel against this. Like, mm-hmm. And that's such a teenage thing. Like, what are you rebelling against? Well, what do you got? I go over the writings I did from then till in my early 20s, which is where a lot of the stories in this book take place. And I realize, well, I've always snuck in Spanish, despite myself. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a defining fulcrum of sorts. Well, I don't want to write in Spanish, so I ended up writing in Spanish. And it's like it came to a point where I had to find a way where it made sense for me. And in writing in general, I do find that I go from moments of needing to take permission or read a model of something that gives me permission to do something. Mm-hmm. And the poetry, not the stories, but the poetry of Sandra Cisneros is what kind of gave me that. Her book, Loose Woman, has these poems that incorporate Spanish phrases in them in such a intimate and real charged way. There's a line in Dulzura, in a poem called Dulzura, which means sweetness. And she says, I want you juntito a mí. And I'm just like, yeah, like, I know what that means. And so over the years, over the 16 years I've been writing poems, I've become more and more comfortable with using Spanish in my work because there's just stories that I can't help but tell and that I can't tell without rolling my R's. Like, that's just part of the material. And so when I think about why I do it now, it's a sign of intimacy. And when I can, I like to include the English in there, just kind of sneak it in. Like in directions, there was, you know, hermanos, primos, and then I forgive them like a brother or a cousin. So I work it in there when I can, but never to the point where it distracts or it becomes clunky. Like the point is that moment. So in this next poem, Raro, it comes from a phone conversation with my mother that I had when I was at the Bucknell Seminar for Younger Poets. I believe I was 21 at the time. The reasons I leave some of the Spanish just there without the translation is because it's a conversation. And so mm-hmm. if a reader doesn't catch on to it, then they're kind of in my position that I was then, where I have to have a conversation as best I can and then later reflect on what was said and go back and see what I can hold on to and make sense of.
Okay. So as you get ready to read this mm-hmm. to us, is there anything that we should know about the Spanish that we're going to hear that will help us sort of unlock what's happening in the poem?
Well, it starts off with one of my mom's favorite phrases that she says to me when I don't call her for a good amount of time. She says, me dejaste con el corazón en la mano, which is, you left me with my heart in my hands. And I always tell people, I'm like, if you haven't been chastised in Spanish, then you really haven't been chastised, because the drama, each sentence is a little telenovela of sort. And so the things that color it are my mom's particular phrasing. So there's that first one. And then later she says, cuidado con el descansito, which descansito means like little rest. And it's her kind of way of alluding to romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. And I have to piece that together later. And I interact with that a little here. One of the two key phrases here is, with the title of the poem, Raro, she says, raro tu nariz, like your nose is rare. And when that comes up, it's this moment of like deflating the young poet's ego, which the young poet needs. Like, don't let the young poet get too big an ego. But there's also the phrase, ¿qué piensas?, which is my mother asking me, what are you thinking? And that phrase, ¿qué piensas?, is also part of the dedication of the book. The book is dedicated para Adelita, which is my mother's name is Adela. And para Adelita, ¿qué piensas? What are you thinking? And it's just something my mom would ask me as a kid. And those two words became the opportunity for poems in themselves. So
very good. Okay, so Raro.
Raro. Me dejaste con el corazón en la mano. I hadn't heard my mother's voice in half a year. I wanted to say I forgot or lost track of something, but that would have been too honest. I said instead that I had been busy, been good, been behaved, all of it in my best Spanish, which was in so many ways not saying much. With heart in hand, she began to tell me about my brothers, her graying hair, the silence her man needed in a small house. No te levanta la mano, ¿verdad? I asked, knowing that I would never trust the answer. Cuidado con el descansito, she said, instead. Then went on about how I am late with giving her grandchildren. ¿Qué haces? I told her I write poetry. My pages are my children. Ni nada. She then told me how a co-worker told her that I could write a book which could become a movie. Then I'll have money. ¿Qué piensas? This was my favorite question. I remember it from long drives at night, how she would say it as if she herself was tired of thinking. At that moment, I had been thinking about how there were too many men in our family who take money, but how I always end up asking for some anyway. Instead, I told her I'm the only Mexican writer in the workshop. ¿El único mexicano? I told her that I'm rare. Raro, raro tu nariz. And I laughed, and she laughed. It went on that way, question and answer and advice, question and answer and silence. And it would go on that way, no matter how many sounds I threw out, looking for the right one. We would always be like birds, making as much of a home as we could out of broken things.
Thank you. Now, Jose, you do have a reading coming up. Do you want to share a little bit about when and where you're going to be presenting this work?
Yes, I'll be reading for about 15 minutes as part of the PTA event. It's Friday and Saturday, April 29th and 30th at 8 p.m. And I believe more information can be found on the Contemporary Dance Theater website.
And I understand there will be a lot of other kinds of artists participating as well.
Yes, there will be some experimental dance. The poet Rebecca Lindenberg will also be part of the reading. And yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Well, we really appreciate you being here tonight. I've been talking with poet Jose Araguz, whose new book, Everything We Think We Hear, released last fall from Floricanto Press. For more information, see our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.